Okay, good afternoon. This is probably the latest time I've ever given a shmuz on Erev Shabbos. It's now 3:15, Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh time. The reason why I didn't have this morning to take care of it was because we were zeichet to have a alumni event in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh with over 20 alumni, which is beautiful. It's nice to see all the chevra, some of the chevra, but of course each and every one of you who's listening who wasn't there today was dearly missed, and we hope to see you soon, back in Yeshiva or in Yerushalayim with the Geula Shleima B'mehreh B'meinu. And today's Rosh Chodesh Av, so it says in Halacha, Mematim B'Simcha, you're supposed to lessen your amount of Simcha. But the truth of the matter is that you can be Medayik from there. I once saw the Diyuk that if an Av were Mematim B'Simcha, if you're supposed to be blessed in Simcha, that's a raya, that's a proof that you're always supposed to be b'simcha. What is one of the sources that there's a mitzvah, there's an obligation to be b'simcha your entire life, the entire year, is because an av would tell you to be my b'simcha, to lessen your simcha, mashma, that you're always supposed to be b'simcha, no matter what happens. So that's for starters. The mitzvah is to be always b'simcha. Obviously, on a personal level and on a national level, sometimes life gets challenging, but we're always supposed to try to be b'simcha. Mitzvah gedolah liyos b'simcha. In addition, obviously, Klal Yisrael suffered a tremendous, tremendous loss with the loss of the great Gaon Rav Yoshev Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and of course, Klal Yisrael also endured a terrible tragedy in Bulgaria, where I'm not sure of the conflicting reports, 5 Israelis, 6 Israelis were killed, and many, a bunch more, very, very seriously wounded. For the mere fact that they were Jews, just like you and I, it happens to be we were not in Bulgaria, Baruch Hashem, we were alive, but we have to be doeg. This is, right, Am Yisrael is one. So part of us was A, attacked, and also B, you know, part of us was passed away, and part of us is in tremendous tzar. And this is what the time is. Chodesh Av is the beginning of the 9 days, pretty much, you know, a little bit past the halfway mark of the 3 weeks. It's a time for introspection. Why did the destruction happen? And we know, of course, the Chazal tell us that we can't say the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and not rebuilt is because of the previous generations. Rather, any generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt is a siman, is a sign that the same averus that existed then, whether it be the Sinas Chinam or the big three, Gilui Raya, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah, and also Shalom Birchu BaTorah Tchila, that we didn't properly honor and respect the Torah by saying Birchu BaTorah. I want to start off by saying a ma'isa over from Rav Yoshev. Now, to speak about Rav Yoshev, now, of course, many people are talking about his tremendous hashmada and the person that he was. And we can go on and on, and we can read articles, and we can talk about his greatness. But I'd like to focus on something that occurred in Rav Yoshev's life, before he was born. And the story I heard, assume it's accurate, the story I heard is that Yosef's parents were not zeichet to have children for many, many years. And one time, his mother did laundry in the, and this is back in Europe, in Poland. And laundry in those days was very tedious. They had to wash the clothing and hang the clothing up outside and just dry it outside. And there was a neighbor of the Yosef's that the woman had a rough day. She was in a bad mood. And she saw the clean laundry hanging there outside, and she decided, it's unclear why, but she decided she was going to take the clean laundry and throw it in the mud. So she did that. Later on that day, Rabbi Yoshev's mother noticed the laundry on the floor. She didn't say anything to anybody. She picked it up, she brought it home, she washed it again, and she hung it up to dry once again. And the woman who had thrown the clothing into the mud, her son got very sick soon after that event. And they tried to figure out what was wrong with this child, and they could not figure it out. Finally, she went to her Rav, and she said, Rav, I don't know what to do. Nobody can figure out what's wrong with my child. He's very sick. What should I do? So the Rav said, is there anything you did wrong in the last while? She said, no, I don't think so. The Rav said to her, think very, very hard. Think hard. Was there anything did you do anything to anybody recently? She said, oh, yeah. You know, a little while ago, I threw Mrs. Elyasha's laundry into the mud. And he said, yeah, that's probably it. Go run to the Elyashivs, go run to Mrs. Elyashiv, and ask for mechila. So she went to the house, and Mrs. Elyashiv was not home. I'm just, parenthetically, I'm not sure if the name was Elyashiv before, and Elyashiv sounds very Israeli, I'm not sure, I didn't do my research yet. But they went to Rabbi Yashiv's mother, the woman ran to Rabbi Yashiv's parents' house, knocked on the door, and the husband answered. The woman said, where's your wife? I need to ask her for mechila. He said, I'm sorry, my wife's not home. He said, you don't understand, my son's sick, I need to ask her for mechila. He said, Rabbi Yashiv's father asked the woman, what do you mean, ask for mechila? He said, well, you know, a little while back, I threw her laundry into the mud, and I need her mechila. So Rabbi Yashiv's father says, you know what, she never said one word to me about it, and I'm sure she's mechila you. So the lady went back to the Rav, and she told the Rav what had happened, and he said, I'm sure the husband's right, the woman is mechila for you. Rabbi Yashiv's mother is mechila, and I can see from the fact that she didn't tell her husband, it must be that she's mechila. So I bless you that your son should have a full shlema because you asked for mechila, and I bless the Yashivs that they should have a son who lights up the world with his Torah. And 102 years later, we see that the bracha was mekuyim. Now, there are many lessons in the story, but the one major lesson that I want to bring out over here is the idea of being mevater. I saw last week in the Sefer Alinu Shabbach where there was a family, none of the girls could find Shaduchim. Rav Steinman Shlita told them the whole family should take upon themselves to be mevater. That means if somebody's trying to start off with you, somebody wrongs you, somebody says something not nice to you, walk away. Don't get upset, be mevater, which basically means to give in. Right? Rav Yosher's mother, she could have been upset, she could have had tainus, she could have gone to her husband and started complaining about the neighbor, she could have walked up to the neighbor and said, what's wrong with you? She could have reacted in many, many ways. But because of one action of mevater, can you imagine? One action of mevater. She was mevater and she didn't get upset that a woman took her laundry for no apparent reason and threw it in the mud. She did not get upset about it. She was zeich to have a child who became the Gadol Hador. I heard on the radio this past week, somebody made a cheshbon based on the hours of learning, based on how long he learned seriously from, apparently from the age of 15, I think the cheshbon started, 500,000 hours of mevaterah. And the amount of halachic shalas that he answered. Can you imagine? Because his mother was mevater in that one episode. Of course, I'm sure she was mevater many, many other times. She was mevater, she got this bracha from this rav, whammo. We have a huge tzaddik, a huge Gadol HaTorah, who lights up the entire world with Torah. And of course, I'm not taking anything away from Rabbi Yashiv. It had, obviously, the bracha, the being mevater, and the bracha had to do with it, but of course it had to do with Rabbi Yashiv's Zemelis as well. But the word is that it all stems to the foundation of it. The foundation of it was the mevater, was the Ben Adam Chavero of Rabbi Yashiv's mother. And what better lesson to focus on during these times? We know that in these times, one of the greatest, the reason the Gemara tells us, you know, the story of Kamsan, Bar Kamsan, the Churban Abayis, is Ben Olam Chavero. We always speak very, very seriously about Limud HaTorah and davening and Emunah and all these things that are Ben Olam Makom. And we always try. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us, the Chazal tell us, that if we be achdus, mamish, if our ben olam chavero, it wouldn't make a difference, right? I think it brought down from the Dor Enosh, right? Even if we were all over the Avodah Zarah, right? If we be achdus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring Geula. If I'm not mistaken, I just quoted that. Even if we're over the Avodah Zarah, if we were achdus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Geula. And it makes sense. Why is that? Because if you think about a family, if parents see their children, even if the children aren't necessarily doing the right thing, but if the children are getting along, the parents are nachas ruach. The parents are satisfied. Kodesh Baruch, when he sees us getting along, so then everything else is okay to a certain degree. For we should all, in these times, try to be mechazik ourselves, whether it's within our own families, with our friends, with our neighbors. We should always try to take the high road. Always try to be mevater, and through being mevater and through excelling in ben olam lechavero and in ahavas chinam, we'll see the gula shleim b'mehir b'meino, and we'll see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. I also want to add on that in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, the Ramban brings the Rambam. And all the four of them are trying to understand why did the Torah have to go out of its way to list the 42 stops in the traveling of the Midbar. Many Mephoreshim explain how it's connected the 42 osios in the Shem Hashem. The Rambam develops the idea that later on, many years after the time of the Midbar, people are going to say, hey, it's impossible. 5 million people, if you do the math, 600,000 people between ages of 20 and 60, 5 million people were in the Midbar for 40 years. 40 years without bread, without wine, without nothing. And they were able to survive? Can't be. Can't be. It must be that they were near civilization. It must be. So says the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that it was very clear that those 42 places were not near any other civilized areas. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listed it. Why? To be mashrish in us. To make sure that that's ingrained in us. And Emunah b'Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisim Gluim are not seen today. In Tzias Mitzrayim, in the Midbar, they were. By Har Sinai, Nisim Gluim were obviously common for those 40 years in the Midbar. But our avodah is to understand and to recognize that as dark as the Golos seems, and as scary as many parts of Golos seem, we need to be Maimon Vashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Manhig. He's Osa Osa V'yasa. He's orchestrating everything. He's Adon HaKol. He's Hayahov V'yah. He was, is, and will be. He's Elokeinu. Mashgiach al kol olam kulo. He's mashgiach in everything. Everything is b'yad Hashem. Everything. That also means, right, that there's chayav onesh. This also means that the more mitzvahs we do, as an individual and also as Klal Yisrael, the more zchusim we're going to have. The closer we're going to get to the geula. Whether it's been bein adam l'makom, whether it's been adam l'chavero, in both areas. So in these times, you have to be mindful about Kodesh Baruch Hu. A person could read the news and say, oh, Al-Qaeda, Iran, Hezbollah, Syria. Person can get nervous. But that nervousness, the Jewish reaction is not to say, oh my gosh. The reaction is, there's a Bari Elam, number one, Aleph. Number two, what message is the Kodesh Baruch Hu sending me? What message is he sending me? The Churban Abayis. I was listening to a shir last week from my Rav. He said, you know, it's very hard to feel gullus. In certain degrees, things are very rosy. You walk around the street, enjoying yourself, you have food on the table, Baruch Hashem. Gullus, what gullus? We have to try our best. And he said, it's not enough to say, well, Klal Yisrael is this Tzar, that Tzar. Because that's because it pains you. He said that the highest level of feeling the Tzar of the Churban has to be that we feel the Tzar of the Shekhinah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come back. He wants to be a greater part of our lives. The only problem is, we have to be Zeicha for it. We have to be Zeicha. So I guess the message of the mother of Rav Yoshev, and the life of Rav Yoshev, and the Masos, the 42 points of travel in the Midbar, are coming to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. In these times, during the times of the 3 weeks and the 9 days we've just entered, we have to try as much as to work on the Shivisi Hashem the Negev Summit. Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world, and what does he expect from us? He doesn't expect us to sit back and do the wrong things and not do anything. He expects us to try to be mechazik in Arbin Adam L'Makom and Arbin Adam L'Chavero and Mir Tzeshem. This Tisha B'Av, not next Shabbos, will be a Moed. It won't be pushed off Nidchet to next Sunday. Mir Tzeshem, will all see each other. By the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Amen. Good Shabbos.